The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Welcome to the Soul Mason Show!
Wherever and whenever you are listening, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to one and all. You can listen to the Phil Nason Show each and every day at 5 p.m. Eastern on Max Sports Channels, at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Superstation of Talk, TalkSuperstation.com, and at various times throughout the day on Armed Forces Radio and Cosmic Radio. I'd like to welcome you to the Phil Nason Show. We have a great show planned for you today. Later on, Amar from SLCDunk.com will be here to talk Utah Jazz hoops. But up first, from RotoWire.com, please welcome fantasy baseball writer slash expert, Mr. Nick Falk. Nick, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure to have you here. Always a pleasure. I got to tell you right off the bat, Albert Pujols is out of the baseball for the rest of the season, right?
It looks to be that way. It seems he's had some issues with the plantar fasciitis for a while, and now he's torn the muscle of his foot, so it sounds like it's not going to require surgery. It's just something that can't recover without a long time off, so they're 8.5 games out in the wild card spot, so there could be a chance if they're back in it, maybe that they'll try and push it with him, but most likely I think they're going to want him back 100% for the start of next season, so it looks to be that he's going to be out probably the rest of the season, unless something drastic changes. It's not confirmed yet, but most likely it looks to be that way, which is really unfortunate.
Yes, it is, for both fantasy players and for the Los Angeles Angels. How would you like to be them? They spent a lot of money the last 2 years, and it looks like they're going to miss out again this year. What do you make of that?
It's definitely kind of hindsight. Always tough to critique in hindsight, but the fact that they have him or had a 10-year deal with him, and this is year two of that. Right now, it's not looking the best because his numbers already, as he was already hampered by that injury. He was definitely career lows across the board, and power numbers, he was just slightly off pace, but he was hitting .258 at this point, and I have to wonder how much that was a problem just because he was hobbling around, and I imagine when you're pivoting on the foot, regardless, or playing out in the field, he's gonna feel it. So, could have been compensating for it, but yeah, looks like probably just the best bet to go next year for $254 million. Though it's just kind of painful.
Yes, it is. It's very painful for that team. And then they signed Josh Hamilton, who has been less than spectacular this year. All things considered, I would think that their plan to sign all these high-priced players was a bust, don't you?
It's kind of looking that way right now, especially the young talent they traded away at the same time with Gene Segura, Tyler Chatwood, even going Patrick Corbin, just a lot of deals that at the time trying to gear up for right now, and it hasn't quite panned out yet.
And speaking of Gene Segura, who's having a great year for Milwaukee, in spite of a lot of things, and we'll talk about that in a minute too, he's out. He was out on Sunday. He's got some forearm troubles. Is that going to be a problem going forward?
I guess right now it's a little kind of up in the air, but I could see down the stretch if in September when the Brewers are out of it and he's dealing with a lot of injuries, they may sit him a little more often, or I don't think there'd be any scenario where they'd shut him down, but he has, been a mainstay and just has hardly missed action all year, so that's a tough jump to go the major league track, and he's had some bad luck injuries over his minor league career, so there might be something where they're going to give him rest a little more often, but right now it seems to be kind of minor on that.
Yeah, but keep an eye on that, fantasy owners, because you never know. These things kind of can escalate. Speaking of Milwaukee, Ryan Braun, now you and I talked about this a while ago. We thought that there would be no way that this Biogenesis magic bean scandal is going to affect fantasy owners. Unfortunately, we were wrong. We based a lot of that on the fact that even if they were suspended, we assumed that these people, these players, especially Ryan Braun, who proclaimed his innocence far and wide, would appeal any suspension and he would play. Now, he's out for the rest of the year. Now, what do you hear? Because you're close to that team, the Milwaukee Brewers. What is your take on the whole thing? As are you still a Brewers fan?
Yeah, I grew up a Brewers fan and still will be, regardless of what, you know, over the years and stuff. And I was huge Braun fan going back to 05 when they drafted him, and it was pretty disappointing just to be, you know, a fan. He's been a part of the core that brought the team back to playoff contention. So just the whole kind of line for a long time, and it really, I definitely struck not a good chord with everyone around here in Milwaukee, and it's too bad. At the same time, for the team's sake, they're already out of it at this point in the season, and they'll have him fresh next season. And really, I don't think his performance will really suffer too much. It's just the reputation now. And but I mean, hopefully, it can something that they can shake out of and just put past him. And hopefully, I mean, he's tainted now, his reputation, but if his performance is like it was last season, then I think they'll be just fine in the end. It's definitely a pretty bad situation right now, though.
Absolutely it is, because you know, they did a poll and there were like 29 major league cities who thought he was guilty and deserved to be punished for more, and only one city, the Milwaukee city, in Milwaukee, were behind Ryan Braun. That's not the case anymore, is it?
No, and definitely it was kind of now with the steroid era, it's if someone, I don't know, basically if there's any hint of it, everyone just assumes they're guilty. And I think his adamant stance that there is a legitimate reason that it was faulty, it just kind of, I bought it too. So yeah, it's tough now, so. Definitely shaking a lot of people's confidence there.
Yeah, it sure has. It's a pity, but he's got a tough road to hoe, because not only is he going to have to replicate his numbers before for anyone to consider him legit, but he's going to have to do it under immense scrutiny, immense fan hatred, if you will. It's not going to be pleasant for Mr. Braun, but then again, he did it to himself, and it's a pity. But we wanted to make sure to talk about that to let you know, yes, we were wrong. But we based a lot of what we thought, especially about Ryan Braun, based on his previous claims of innocence. And that's why we felt he would appeal, and he didn't. And we're sorry if any of you drafted him, because we told you to. Anyway, moving on. Carlos Gonzalez from the Rockies. Now, he's missed 3 games in a row. He's got a finger issue. He says he's going to have this problem for the entire season. How do fantasy owners act with him now?
Well, that's tough, because I'm kind of in that boat, because I own him too. And it sounds like he's going to avoid the DL at this point, but he has missed 3 consecutive games now, I believe, on Sunday at this point. So it's definitely going to be something that's going to nag with him. But if the Rockies are in contention, which they're kind of fallen back, and they have fallen back at this point, it'd be better for everyone's sake if they were in contention, because then there might be more incentive for him to play. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on, possibly build around extra outfield depth in case he does have to hit the DL or something for this last stretch of the season. But yeah, it's going to be tough if he has to play through it. Hopefully it doesn't hamper his performance.
Yeah, figures are tough because you got to grip the bat, and that ought to be interesting. One guy who seems to be making his way back is Curtis Granderson. He's on his way back again, and apparently he will be back, according to WFAN, this upcoming weekend. What does that do for fantasy owners? Are they happy, sad? Should they be happy? I mean, it's Curtis Granderson, after all, the Grandy man, right?
Yeah. It's a good thing if he can return to – it might take, a little bit to shake the rust off. So he just had the bad luck there with his return last time. But with Soriano, I feel it'd be most likely that when Granderson is back, that it'll probably be Soriano on left and then or DH, which in the AL is probably a good thing for Soriano at this point. And then Gardner can still work in the outfield, Granderson in center most likely, and Suzuki out in right. But then, yeah, I think he's got a lot of power. He's hit 40 home runs the past two seasons, which won't be a possibility now, but he's still a good source of power down the stretch if you're looking for it. And I think he should be available in some leagues still, just because he's been out for so long. But
it should be interesting for him. There's no question about that. Now, another person that's coming back, and this might be good. Well, it'll be good for Arizona if he can pitch, is Brandon McCarthy. He's coming back. Now, how do you see Brandon McCarthy?
That one is an interesting, just kind of a risky one. Just he had kind of a tough season going earlier. Hard to know if that was contributed with his injury. So I think they'll eventually, Tyler Skaggs was sent back to AAA to clear the spot for McCarthy. So he should have a spot back. And it's going to be interesting to see how he is coming off the DL. I guess it's a little hard to commit one way or the other on how effective he'll be right away. He did have a 5 ERA, which was a career high this season prior to hitting the DL. So I guess I'd probably tread cautiously on that one at this point.
Yeah, I'd be careful. His season wasn't going that well, so I'd be careful with him for sure. Okay, now, is there any other injury updates, Nick, that you can think of?
I think Atlanta's had, it sounds like Brandon Beachy is supposed to be starting, which recording on Sunday, supposed to be starting tomorrow, Monday, which will actually be a day earlier, but that'll be interesting to see how that plays out with Tim Hudson out for the season, how they have a lot of depth in that rotation, and at this point it looks like they're not going to go after Jake Peavy, so I feel like Beachy could have a good value. It'll be interesting to see how his first start or two goes. He's definitely a high strikeout guy, so that's intriguing down the stretch too. And then they'll be in a playoff race, so he has a lot of value there too.
Absolutely. Boy, what a bummer about Timmy Hudson, huh?
Definitely, yeah. Jeez. Just a bad luck there.
That was absolutely bad luck. You know, I'm looking at most drop players for the week. Obviously, Ryan Braun is one of them. He's still owned in 35% of the leagues in ESPN. Wow. They must be keeper leagues.
Maybe.
Because there's no way. What's the point of keeping him?
No point.
No point. But you know what? Another guy who dropped, Nick, is Francisco Rodriguez after he got traded from Milwaukee to Baltimore. What do you think about that? Because this could get interesting if Johnson has some troubles. Rodriguez, you know, Buck Showalter has never been shy about using a closer by committee. Francisco Rodriguez being dropped that much, isn't that a little silly?
It is a little. He's had an excellent year, and that was a great, pickup for the Brewers because he was basically had zero interest from teams in the offseason, and the Brewers took him on a minor league deal, and out of him they got a pretty legitimate third base prospect down the road. He's a ways off, but I think with Johnson's definitely the has a job and has, as his stats aren't really that impressive for like all of his peripherals, but he gets the job done, and I think he's very effective with it. And I think Rodriguez, though, if he doesn't have the chance to be earning the regular saves, he definitely probably isn't worth owning unless you're in a league that does hold, which there aren't very many. His ERA may be low, but at the same time, he doesn't have the chance to bring a lot of other category stats, so having the person with the saves is definitely the way to go, and I think there's a few options out there still right now that could be in that boat.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good advice, because now saves are really going to matter in some of those leagues. That's very good advice. You know, another guy who fell like a, or sunk like a rock, was Jeremy Hefner from the New York Mets. He's now 7.7% owned. He's had two shaky starts. What do you think about Jeremy Hefner?
I think he definitely was on a great hot streak for a while there, and has gotten shelled in back-to-back outings. Both tough offenses with Philly and Atlanta, but I think it was a little more of a reality check. He's definitely not a bad pitcher, but for fantasy purposes at this point, probably not worth owning. And then the fact that rotation has kind of got, there's going to be a lot of young guys coming up too, I feel, that could take starts away down the stretch. He's probably one of the guys they would want to make sure they're getting out there too. But yeah, I think he's kind of back down to earth on this last two starts, I guess.
Well, yep, and I have to correct myself, because last week I considered him someone who would be a breakthrough guy in the second half of the season, and it looks like he's a bust. My apologies. If you listened to me on that one, I deeply apologize. I'm very sorry. I drank the Kool-Aid and thought he was actually on a roll. At that time, Nick, he had the best ERA from May 15th until that day, I guess, in all of baseball. And I thought, this kid's going to keep it up, and he didn't. And again, my apologies if you listen to me. Another guy that has been sinking like a stone is Ricky Nolasco. Now, why in the world are people dumping Ricky Nolasco the way they are, Nick?
It's probably just he hasn't really excelled. He's been decently productive so far in LA. With the trade, his value probably went up, just the chance that he could probably have a few more wins out of it. But so far, it hasn't shown exactly. But he's notched a few quality starts since he's moved over. But yeah, I think he's kind of just, I think, right in that area of a pitcher where he's not, fantasy-wise, doesn't bring a whole lot, because he's usually got a upper threes to, well, in his career, he's had usually in the fours for ERA, and he gets the double-digit wins, but he's kind of right about 500 usually, and that could be, you know, more just the fact that he was with Miami and Florida Marlins. So, yeah, I think that's just the most part, is that he's kind of so-so for bringing fantasy value.
Yeah, he is. But if you need a spot starter, he's pitching against the Cubs on Thursday, August 1st. And that's not a bad team to give him a shot against, because they're not hitting very well right now. And Nolasco with the Dodgers, they might score a few runs, because that pitching staff in Chicago is just brutal. It might be worth a shot, maybe. But don't listen to me, because I've been wrong the last 2 weeks. That's just my opinion. Do your own homework, though, folks out there. Let's see some guys who are hot, though. I'll tell you who is hot, and this is obviously because of Jason Grilly's injury, is Mark Melancon. He is owned now in 87.3% of the leagues. He took a 65% jump. He may be the guy, eh?
Yeah, I actually recommended him in an article this week, and Grilly is potentially supposed to be out anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks with his forearm injury. And Melanson has been having a career year. He made the All-Star game as a setup guy, and he has a 0.91 ERA right now, which is going to probably go up if he has more opportunities to get the tough games down the stretch. But that really was leading the National League in saves when he went on the DL. So the opportunities are there right now with Pittsburgh playing really well. And just being on the back end of that is a huge opportunity. And then with people that maybe had Francisco Rodriguez or a struggling closer, Melanson's a pretty solid guy to own, especially if, 4 to 8 weeks could be almost the rest of the season if Gurley can't come back sooner than that. So, yeah, he's a solid guy to pick up if you need saves.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Jim Henderson's another one. He's 73% owned. Now, he would be a guy. I would take him over Melanson, though, wouldn't you?
It'd be a tough call. Henderson has great stuff, throws really hard, and definitely closer type stuff too, but he does have, I'd say maybe committing to him after the trade deadline. He's not as much of a candidate as John Axford, but both of those guys are probably going to be the back end of the bullpen for now. And then just the fact that Pittsburgh is winning more games kind of is like a rule of thumb that he'll probably get a little more save opportunities with Pittsburgh, although there's not a direct correlation to that too. So, but Henderson's been very effective this year too, and has a higher strikeout rate than Melanson most likely.
Yeah, but the thing is you never know, he might get traded too. And that's the other possibility. He could end up leaving. I saw somewhere his name was being bounced around, but you never know. But I like Jim Henderson a lot. Another guy who is creeping up the charts, he's now 71% owned, a 35% jump, is our friend Carlos Quinton from the San Diego Padres. What do you make of this guy? What do you make of the collarbone breaker?
That's tough. I've always kind of been wary about owning him just with his past of he would have a very streaky hitter in the past, but he does have good power, and there are rumors too that he might be on the trading block here too. That one's very up in the air too. It's just hard to know what teams are really going to go for too. But yeah, I'd say he's, if you're in need in a deep league, especially too, when he's hitting the ball well, he's definitely a good option to have too, and good power guy.
Yeah, would that be funny if they traded him to Los Angeles, the Dodgers, and Greinke could throw him batting practice?
Might get interesting.
That would get interesting, wouldn't it? Let's see, we've got about 2.5 minutes, Nick. Evan Gattis is back off the DL, and now he's 68% owned. Do you take a chance on him? He had a great first half until he got hurt. Do you take a chance on Evan Gattis? Because he can fill the catcher role and the outfield role. He's eligible in both. And like I said, he's 68% owned. I have him on two of my teams, and I'm not unhappy with him. What do you make of Evan Gattis?
I've toyed with that idea too, and he's just that whole position eligibility is just a huge part that he can catch and play multiple spots. And if you're, in a situation with a catcher that may be platooned once in a while and you're really trying to push at the end too, you might even be able to watch the lineups and then sit your catcher the day that he sits out too and plug Gattis in too. So that he does offer that flexibility if you are really looking to win a league matchup on the final day or something too. So that's a plus.
Yeah, that's a big plus. And you know what? Another one here. This has always been my red flag of caution guy. But Bronson Arroyo is 51% owned. And what do you do with Bronson Arroyo? Because he struggles, but then sometimes he blows people away. It just depends on who he's pitching against, right?
Yeah, he's very tough to tell what he's going to do there. He can be dominant, too, against great teams and then just have a really rough day against some not-so-great teams, too. But, yeah, I mean, he's worth a gamble. And, like, if you're looking for a one-spot start or something and want to play a favorable matchup. But, yeah, I think he's not a high strikeout guy, but he can go deep into games sometimes, too. And probably not, like, one to build the team around, but maybe if you're in a pinch, he'd be all right, too.
Yeah, that's possible. Okay, Nick, we've got about 35 seconds. You got a sleeper for us? Somebody you like this week?
One I really like, he's probably getting picked up like crazy, is Chris Archer from the Rays. He just threw a two-hit shutout against the Yankees after he's just been dominant his last, five-plus starts. And the Rays, the only uncertainty with the Rays is that Alex Cobb is supposed to return soon. So then they're probably going to have to move someone out of the rotation. But based on performance, it would probably be Roberto Hernandez. But Archer's their top pitching prospect, and he's pitching like it right now, strikeout-wise. Deep into games, very efficient.
Okay. And my sleeper for the week is Ricky Nolasco, because I think he's going to sizzle the Cubs. And I hope he does, for your sake and mine, because I'm going to pick him up on Thursday in my stringer position, where I pick a different pitcher every day. Anyway, Nick, great stuff tonight. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And you can find Nick Falk over at rotowire.com. Coming up next, Amar from slcdunk.com will be here to talk Utah Jazz hoops. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Phil Nason Show.
Cosmic Music, 24/7 on cosmicradio.com. CosmicRadio.com.
Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at AridiHotel.com or email them at reservations@AridiHotel.com.
TalkSuperStation.com.
That's right, the superstation of talk.
Talking to you each and every day.
We have a lot to talk about.
Monday.
Government is not the answer. Health is the answer.
Hey guys, I'm here.
Tuesday.
The Yankees are always good.
We are going to go for old-timers now.
Well, I think I feel. I'm a Mets fan. They have clothes people.
Wednesday.
You and I are staying put.
Thank goodness, because I have no socks on, and staying put is what I need to do.
Thursday.
I was Martin Sheen actually decided to run for president, I would vote for him.
Friday.
You know how hard it is to get a topic not about sports on ESPN Radio? It's about as hard as me introducing sports on this show.
Saturday.
It's time to party.
And Sunday.
How can we respect anyone in Washington, D.C.?
Every day, we talk to you.
Sit back and enjoy this.
TalkSuperStation.com. Talk. Spoken here.
Are you tired of boring sports websites that's about the same old company line? If you are, then I'd invite you to stop over to thesportsgoons.com. The Reggie commentary and a weekly podcast highlighting today's issues is second to none. That's thesportsgoons.com. The new media has arrived. Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show.
It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit PhilNasons.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from This Week in Tennis and The Phil Nason Show. Max Sports Channels offers the best in sports talk radio, as well as great music 24 hours a day. It's my daily destination, and I hope it's yours. The sports talk begins each and every day at 3 p.m. and ends around 9 p.m. Special programming on the weekends. And in between all that, the hottest music on the internet. That's Max Sports Channels. Make it your daily destination. Welcome back. I'll tell you what, I have a lot of fun with my next guest. His name is Amar. He is the managing editor of SLCDunk.com. That's the Utah Jazz site from SBNation.com. They're not the Salt Lake City Jazz, like I said last week, because I don't know what I'm talking about most of the time. But anyway, here he is. Please welcome Mr. Amar to the show. Dude, how are you?
Doing great. Glad to be back.
Man, listen to that sound, dude. I'll tell you what, your sound just improved 100%.
Yeah, I'm no longer using that old Gateway microphone from 1998.
All right. See, okay. But still, you sound great. The site's doing great. I see you got a lot of people commenting over there. That's a lot of fun when people comment on your work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting and frightening at the same time, because half the time people are going to be like, all right, this was good. But then the other half, you're worried that you're going to rustle some feathers. And frankly, let's rustle some feathers.
Yeah, we certainly ruffled a few last week, didn't we?
Yeah, no. And we got some good feedback from the readers.
And that's important. You know, last Friday, Brandon Davis from the Dream Shake came on, and there's like 84 comments on that section. I was like blown away. It's amazing how much people want to talk basketball in the off season. It's incredible. I love it.
Yeah, we are definitely fanatics.
Absolutely, and it's a good thing, because baseball, you know, when baseball ends, there's not much really happening. But basketball, there's always stuff to talk about. And since your last appearance, a couple new Utah Jazz members were signed. Ian Clark, tell us about him.
Ian Clark would not be on anyone's radar right now if it wasn't for a fantastic performance in the Vegas Summer League. And the Vegas Summer League is probably a little bit bigger than the Orlando Summer League, because there's more teams, there's more games, and there's more media. And I guess if you're going to try and make a name for yourself as an undrafted rookie, trying to make it on any team or even getting an invite to training camp, you want to show up on the biggest stage. And I think that he kind of did that. He won the MVP of that entire tournament that they had there, as his Golden State team won the championship, quote unquote, of the Summer League, which, you know, like, all things considered, is the championship of the Summer League a greater deal than taking your team to the Final Four? I don't know. But Ian Clark is a very interesting guy, because the obvious need for the Jazz would have been at point. But instead, they get a shooting guard who is kind of like the wrong size. You may want to think that he's a point guard body, but with a shooting guard's mentality, I guess, like a Jason Terry. And he's known for taking shots. He's a good three-point shooter. He does not really facilitate much, and I honestly have not scouted him enough on defense.
But I thought Summer League didn't matter.
Well, that's what we heard last week when, you know, we pointed out that Trey Burke performed poorly, but I guess we're allowed to have it both ways. For Trey Burke, the Summer League doesn't matter, but for Ian Clark, the Summer League is all we need to really care about. But, you know, if you dig a little bit deeper, you could look more into, you know, he was a a four-year player in college, and he shot 43% from downtown Whereas in Summer League, he had the unsustainable rate of shooting 49% from downtown. So that was seven games, and his college career is 133 games, so which is the larger sample size. Obviously, it's his college career, but I guess all we care about here is Summer League. He was really good in Summer League, and all joking or trolling aside, if you're looking for the best player to show up in Summer League just to give him a shot, then I think the Jazz have done that. Kudos to the general manager, Dennis Lindsay, again. If it works out, it's a brilliant move. If it doesn't work out, it's a low-risk move.
Yep, like we say in fantasy basketball, low risk, high reward.
Yeah, and it's a two-year deal, so you maintain flexibility. If he's better than we expect, then he may actually be worth keeping around. But as it stands right now, I see him getting a lot of DNP CDs in the future. Did not play coach's decision.
Yes, I see that too. But the thing is when you get a kid like this and you find him in summer ball, and God bless them for signing him, and God bless him for having the courage to go out there and show what he can do. If he can play a little bit, you can also flip him for somebody too.
Yeah, exactly. Even if it's just another draft pick or something. And like, this is what it's called, gathering assets. And I think this is something with which the Jazz have done. They've gotten a lot of assets, and hopefully they're cavalier in moving those assets for NBA players. And maybe we don't even have to move Ian Clark. Maybe he'll get it done. And I wish him all the best, because every team needs guys who can shoot, and that's definitely his specialty, and he showed it on a big stage. And it'll be very interesting to see if he gets a shot.
Well, I think he might. You know, I think he may, and I think if he does, I think he's going to produce. Now, how much is yet to be seen, of course, but all systems go, because Summer League matters, to me at least, a little bit, and he definitely demonstrated that he could play. And like you said, the Las Vegas is a much more competitive and much more noticeable league.
Yeah, it's a bigger show.
Much bigger show. And he'll be playing in the biggest show of all next year.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that the Jazz will probably give him plenty of touches. Sorry if I'm popping a little bit. Plenty of touches in training camp, either as a point guard or as a shooting guard or whatever. Whatever his position is going to be at the NBA level, it's probably going to be a guy who plays off the ball and takes a lot of shots like Jason Terry.
And if he has a career like Jason Terry, then all systems go. You got to love that.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, like, he's another young guy, and young guys are full of energy, and they really want to do their best. They're like puppies. They just want to wag their tails and get a pet and have their owners think that they're the best. They just want to please. So why don't you want a guy like that?
Exactly. Future financial stability. That's what he's playing for.
Exactly. And that kind of dovetails with the other guy that we did get, who is a veteran, who is a point guard, and his name is John Lucas III. I'm sure older guys like us remember his dad being a player and a coach. So it's very interesting to see him. And I was just querying the Jazz fans about what did they think about the guys that we brought in and what do they think about our point guard situation. And I guess some of the funny part is that you want a veteran, you want him to be good, you don't want him to be ancient, but you want him to be all right with not starting. And it's hard to get all of those things. Because, okay, well, Mo Williams, he's still a free agent at this point, from what I understand, which is absurd. But he was a former All-Star, and he hasn't found a place yet. And I think he could be okay if he was brought back to Utah. But most fans are like, no, we don't want that because he wants to start. Well, we found a guy who is an ancient, who is a veteran. Like, let's not forget that. Okay, he may not have played much, but John Lucas has played in the NBA for five seasons, and he's played internationally for three other seasons. He's played in Italy, Spain, and China. So he's an eight-year pro vet, and I think that it's going to be interesting to have him along because he kind of knows his limitations, and even though he's a veteran, it's not like he's going to be the type of person who would slow any development.
No, he'll be the second oldest guy on the squad, right?
yeah, he's 30 years old, and I think the only one older is Richard Hamilton. No, not Richard
Jefferson. His name.
Richard Jefferson. I'm thinking about the Pistons. My mistake. Yeah. I just call him Dick because it's easier to remember.
Yeah, sometimes the way he plays, it fits.
Or, yeah, or, you know, like leaving his bride at the altar and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we could go a lot of places with that, but we probably will stick with basketball maybe for a little while longer tonight. But
yeah, we'll talk after we're done recording.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Alec Burks is another one. Some people say the real Burke. They signed the real Burke. Did they sign the real Burke?
I think Alec Burks, like, he will be going into his third year in the league. He played a combo guard type of situation in Colorado. And the way that I see it, he distinguished himself last year by playing defense. And that's because he was, you know, he's a shooting guard. He's 6'6". He's got a pretty significant wingspan, as far as I remember. It was his wingspan is 6'10". And that makes him harder to get around when he's defending point guards. And I think that's what he showed up last year, being our best defender at the point guard spot, even if he is not a point guard. The way that I have it, because I try to figure out how many minutes each guy is going to play during an actual game, I have Alec playing at least 10 minutes a game at point guard, probably finishing the game because he's the best defender.
Yep, you certainly do. And that's a perfect segue into what we're going to talk about, because you wrote this monster piece over at your site, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes, where you say John Lucas III signs, Jazz roster up to 10 or up to 12. Let's distribute the minutes. So let's talk about that a little bit. This is quite an undertaking that you did, and I enjoyed reading the article, and I enjoyed the graph. And like I said, folks, you can go over to slcdunk.com and check this out. The link will be in the show notes. You have quite the list here. You've got Richard Jefferson playing 1 minute.
Yeah, because I didn't want him to feel too comfortable on the bench, you know.
Because he's gonna have to put a KOA sticker on his back because he's gonna be camping out there, I think.
Now, yeah, well, but this is just an average for any one single game. It's not necessarily the approximate minutes that they'll get every game, but
right,
we'll play around with it as the season goes along.
Absolutely, you know, that's the fun part about the off season and speculating and such. Now, you have, now, if I'm not mistaken, your starting five are Gordon Hayward, Derek Favors, Trey Burke, Alec Burks, and Enes Kanter, right?
Yeah, that's who I would go with.
Okay. And this is you going with it, and it's not any official edict from the Utah Jazz, because obviously they don't know exactly what they're going to do yet.
Right. And in fact, whatever we say, they do the exact opposite, because they are watching what we write. So,
okay, so maybe you should
shout
start.
Out. We love you, Utah Jazz PR department. Keep reading our blog.
You know what? Then maybe you should start John Lucas III and Richard Jefferson and Jeremy Evans and Marvin Beadrins. And Brandon. I think so. Yeah, Andres Beadrins. Yeah. And that way they'll start the five that you predicted in the first place.
No, that's excellent. This is why we talk, man. You give me this advice, this psychological stuff.
Yeah, it's a trick I use on the tennis court. When I really want them to do something, I tell them to do the opposite because they never want to listen. And that's
unfortunately okay, this reverse psychology fails to work in marriage. Just a hint for all you single guys.
Yeah, that's a fact, by the way. Here's what my dad told me. My parents were married for almost 60 years. Always listen to the woman, and you'll never get in trouble. If you got a good one, that is.
Right, exactly.
And Amar and I both do, so, and that's a beautiful thing. But Gordon Hayward, now this is interesting. You've got him, your projection is 17 minutes at the shooting guard, and then you have him playing 18 minutes at the three. How did you come up with that?
Well, the main idea was that over the previous 3 years, he had played either shooting guard or small forward. So, and I think depending on who else is on the floor, his role is in fact going to change he's going to be a guy who's going to have to maintain his versatility. And I think that means that he's going to be basically splitting his time. He's not going to be the guy who's just playing a monster amount of minutes at one position, especially not with the current team that we have, where we need all the help that we can get. And I felt like he needed to play the most minutes out of everyone because he's the most prepared. Like, it shows that he's the, like, my idea is that you need to play at least 2,000 minutes every year you're in the league for your first 3 years if you're going to be a good player. And he's the one out of all of the Jazz guys who's come close enough to that, where he's about 500 minutes off, where some other guys are like 2,000 minutes off. So he's the most ready. He's the one who actually distinguished himself the most out of all of the Jazz players at the USA Select camp that just wrapped up. I think he's ready to do whatever we need, and at this stage, that means playing shooting guard and small forward, depending on who else is on the floor.
And this is a young starting lineup, too. He's the oldest one, also.
Yeah, exactly. And he's finally getting over that peach fuzz. It's becoming a manly beard now, so that's going to be interesting to see.
And that's a good thing. And make sure you use Head and Shoulders on that beard, Gordon. Otherwise, your face is going to itch all the time. Give him a little fatherly advice, because he's a young fella, no?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I like Derek Favors a lot. I think this is going to be his year. He's going to really step up and do some damage. You've got him playing at the 5 spot, 13 minutes, and at the 4, 21 minutes. Honestly, Derek Favors is a 4, right?
Well, I guess that's going to be the consistent debate, because he's about the same physical size as Dwight Howard in terms of body fat percentage and height and wingspan and all of that other stuff. But no one ever considers Dwight anything but a center. So I guess it's a kind of a perception bias thing, because Favors played on a team with Al Jefferson or whatever, or came into the league on a team with Brook Lopez. No one felt like he had to be a center. And I guess with the Jazz, he kind of does not have to be a center because they have Cantor and Rudy Gobert as well. But if you're going small, like if you have a lineup where Marvin Williams is the 4 and you have Derek Favors at the 5, then you're going to be a lot more athletic and a lot faster than every other team out there. And in the West, you may need to be that athletic and fast because, you know, very few teams in the West slow it down and bang anymore.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. I like Derek Favors, though.
Sorry for interrupting you. We're all very excited because he's been working out this summer with Karl Malone, and they've been going pretty hard. And Karl Malone was kind of undersized for the 4. If you look at it in today's game, he was only 6'9", only 6'9". And Favors is listed at 6'10". And Favors did not have the most polished offensive game. If he can just get easy baskets, that's going to make him a lot more valuable to the team, and he's going to be able to play both ways. And I think that's something that they're working on a lot, because Karl Malone didn't have the physical gifts or was as athletic, but he knew how to run the floor. And I think that's what he's hammering into Favors. If you just run the floor, you'll get cheap baskets.
And plus, he was a very dirty player, which is a very good thing, because Derek Favors needs to get a little more nastier.
Yeah, we need a dog on this team, and most of these guys look like pussycats. So.
Absolutely. And Carl, the mailman Malone, was no pussycat.
Yeah, and thank God for that, because who knows how bad our team would have been if he was. So.
Yeah, but you know what he had that unfortunately the Utah Jazz don't have is John Stockton.
What we have John Lucas III. That's all we need, right?
I forgot about that. I'm sorry. It's because it's 5 in the morning and I've been up all night recording, as you know. So I get kind of silly at this period of the day.
Yeah, no, clearly Lucas is not Stockton. And I think that's going to be the year-long question, is about the point guard situation. Is Trey Burke going to be the guy who is the point guard of the future? Is he another stepping stone to that next point guard? And to be honest, with today's NBA offenses, how many dominating point guards do you have? A lot of the times the guys who facilitate are your wing players. And in this case, that would be Hayward and Alec Burke. So maybe Trey Burke just needs to fit in at his own pace and not have the pressure of being the next Stockton.
And that's fair enough. I think that's the way it should be. But he's going to get his initiation by fire.
Yeah, he's going to get his fire. He's going to get his butt kicked on defense. The first time a real NBA guy screens him and he just runs right into it, he's going to know, hey, I'm not in Ann Arbor anymore.
Plus, he did that when he was in Ann Arbor. I mean, he's not that good of a defender, really. And I'm a Michigan fan, so it is what it is. But you've got him playing 34 minutes, and it's a very gracious way of looking at it. In your opinion, he is, at least for now, he is the point guard of the absolutely the present, but also the future, right? In your opinion, even though we're honest about our opinion of him, that doesn't change the fact that he's the guy the Salt Lakes or Utah Jazz absolutely wanted, and ultimately they have him, and he's the guy, right?
It has to be. There's no other, and I think that's what the front office has also felt as well, because they did not re-sign Jamal Tinsley, who started for us last year. They did not re-sign Mo Williams, who was our biggest point guard name last year. They didn't re-sign Earl Watson. They didn't re-sign Jarrell McNeil. They didn't re-sign any of the other or make offers to some of the other point guards out there, like Brandon Jennings, or to any of the guys from Atlanta, like Devin Harris, or, man, I'm forgetting that guy's name. Oh, well, Jeff Teague. So the Utah Jazz front office, they kind of forced their hand here. Like, okay, well, we went all in for Trey Burke. We have to make this pan out. The only way that this is going to happen is if we actually play him, if we actually develop him. And if they figure out that he's going to be great, that's great. If they figure out he's not going to be good, they need to be able to flip him when he's still on his rookie contract before the rest of the league finds out. Kind of like what Oklahoma City did with Jeff Green, because they got rid of him in his second year or whatever it was. And if the Jazz have to get rid of Burke, it's going to be better if they get rid of him earlier. The only way that they'll know is if they play him sooner. And I think that's what the Jazz front office has done, and that's kind of what their coaching staff is going to have to do. They're going to have to play him a lot. If he's going to be great, it works out. If he's not going to be great, we'll know sooner.
Yep, that makes sense. And you've got him playing 34 minutes, and that's quite a lot for a rookie. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, well, he played 36 in the 40-minute game at the NCAA level. If he plays 34 with all the TV timeouts in the NBA, it is a lot for a rookie. But if you looked at some of the other rookie guys, like Damian Lillard played 38 minutes a game last year. So,
well, Damian Lillard and Trey Burke are two different animals, maybe. We'll see. We'll see.
But yeah, I think we agree that they are two different animals. But it's just a comparison of rookie minutes.
Wait till that first screen lays on Trey Burke. He's going to be thinking that 34 minutes is as an eternity.
He's like, oh, I wish I was in math class again.
Yeah, exactly. I should have listened to Amar and Phil. Stayed in school. Instead of came out here and get killed by these guys. He's going to need a good dentist, too.
I think there's a good dental plan for the Jazz. So
I'm sure of that. Alec Burks, though, I think he's going to wind up being your point guard.
He very well may be, because he is the only guy who played it last year who's on the team this year.
That's a given. Plus, the thing about Alec Burks is he's a decent shooter, too, right?
Yeah, and plus, like, he's not going to be that point guard that's going to be a Rondo type who facilitates. He's not going to be that type of point guard who's like Stephen Curry, who just bombs from the outside. He seems to be more of that drive and die point guard like Russell Westbrook, where he gets to the rim, he gets contact, and it's kind of a rough and tumble type of point guard, but it's still an effective one for the way that the current NBA adjudicates fouls. You know, you're not allowed to play defense anymore, so why don't you just barrel in there and try and get contact?
Yep. I think Alec Burks is going to be a pretty good little player for you. Now, Enes,
I like him a lot. Yeah, he's like last year, I think he was my second favorite player on the team. So, like, I'm a huge Alec Burks fan.
His plus to minus differential of 14.2 is not to shake a stick at either.
Well, yeah, well, that would be how many more minutes he would be playing this year from my projection.
Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at that the wrong way. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, it was a confusing table. But yeah, like his on and off numbers are pretty good as well. I think most of the Utah Jazz fans and some of their front office executives figured out that maybe we're playing the wrong guys, because the guys who seem to be doing well on the court aren't the guys who are finishing games. And I think that's why we're going young. We're going to try out the theory that, hey, maybe these young guys are good now. Maybe they don't need to learn how to play crappy defense by watching Al Jefferson get beat every day.
Shh. They're going to give you hell for that.
Yeah, all the Al Jefferson fans in Charlotte.
And you're and your table was not confusing. I cut off the top half of it. That's why I have no idea what combined last 3 years or whatever. But anyway, it's a good deal. I like Enes Kanter. I think he's going to be a big addition. And you know what? Marvin Williams has a very good opportunity to become like a six-man candidate of the year, right?
Yeah, like this is the first time where he's like the old man of the mountain. Everywhere else, he was solo on the pecking order. And now he's the only guy who's actually really been there. Like, he's the only guy who's played real playoff minutes before on this team. And he's going to be the guy that the coach is going to look to and say, hey, he's the veteran. He's been here before. You know, maybe we should allow him to play his game. I'm encouraged. I think he's going to have a good season.
I think so, too. And you know what? That ate up all our time, my friend. We'll have to pick this up again next week.
Oh, well, yeah, because I'm sure we'll have a whole segment just talking about Richard Jefferson's 1 minute in the game.
I think that's important. Plus Rudy Gobert, you know, we have to have him too. But anyway, great stuff tonight. Thank you for being on the show, Amar.
Thanks so much, Phil.
It's my pleasure. And you can find Amar over at slcdunk.com, and I insist that you do. And that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. Special thanks once again to Nick Falk from RotoWire for the outstanding fantasy baseball portion of the show, and to Amar for being here to talk Utah Jazz basketball. See, I didn't call him Salt Lake City. That's twice in a row, and that's a beautiful thing, right? Tomorrow night, Mark Berman and I will be catching more hell from the Mets fans at large on our weekly New York Mets show. Until then, you all take care of yourselves. Be good, and most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.